Chapter 22. Thomas decided he needed to tell everyone about all the dreams he was having, about what he suspected were memories coming back to him. As they sat down for the second gathering of the day, he made them all swear to keep their mouths shut until he was finished. They'd grouped the chairs near the cockpit of the Berg so Jorge could hear it all. Thomas then began to tell them about each dream he'd had, memories of his life as a kid, being taken by Wicked when they found out he was immune, his training with Teresa, all of it. When he got out all that he could remember, he waited for a response.
"I don't see what that has to do with anything," Minho said. "Just makes me hate Wicked even more. Good thing we left, and I hope I never have to see Teresa's shuck face again."
Newt, who'd been irritable and distant, spoke for the first time since they'd sat down for the gathering.
"Brenda's a bloody princess compared to that know-it-all."
Thanks," Brenda replied with an eye roll.
"When did you change?" Minho blurted out.
"Huh?"
Brenda replied.
"When did you become so shuck crazy against Wicked? You've worked for them.
You did all those things they wanted you to do in the Scorch. You were all ready to help them put that mask on our face and mess with us all over again. When and how did you come so strongly over to our side?"
Brenda sighed. She looked tired, but her words came out laced with some anger.
"I have never been on their side. Never. I've always disagreed with how they operate. But what could I ever do on my own? Or even with Jorge? I've done what I needed to do to survive. But then I lived through the Scorch with you guys, and it made me realize... well, it made me realize that we have a chance."
Thomas wanted to change the subject.
"Brenda, do you think Wicked'll start forcing us to do things? Start messing with us, manipulating us, whatever?"
"That's why we need to find Hans," she shrugged. "I can only guess what Wicked will do. Every other time I've seen them control someone with the device in their brains, that person has been close and under observation. Since you guys are running and they have no way of seeing exactly what you're doing, they might not want to risk it."
"Why not?" Newt asked. "Why don't they just make us stab ourselves in our leg or chain ourselves to a chair until they find us?"
"Like I said, they're not close enough," Brenda answered. "They obviously need you guys. They can't risk you getting hurt or dying. I bet they have all kinds of people coming after you. Once they get close enough to observe, then they might start doing things to mess with your head. And I have a pretty good feeling they will, which is why getting to Denver is a must."
Thomas's mind had already been made up.
"We're going, and that's that. And I say we wait 100 years before we have another meeting to talk about stuff." "Good that," Minho said. "I'm with you."
That was 2 out of 3. Everyone looked at Newt.
"I'm a crank," the older boy said. "Doesn't matter what I bloody think."
"We can get you into the city," Brenda said, ignoring him. "At least long enough to have Hans work on your head. We'll just be really careful to keep you away from—"
Newt stood up in a blur of speed and punched the wall behind his chair.
"First of all, it doesn't matter if I have the thing in my brain. I'm going to be past the bug and gone before too long anyway. And I don't want to die knowing I ran around a city of healthy people and infected them."
Thomas remembered the envelope in his pocket, a thing he'd almost forgotten about until now. His fingers twitched to pull it out and read it. No one said anything. Newt's expression darkened.
"Well, don't hurt yourselves trying to tuck me into it," he finally growled. "We all know Wicked's fancy cure is never going to work, and I wouldn't want it to. Not much to live for on this piece of a clunk planet. I'll stay on the Berg while you guys go into the city."
He turned and stomped away, disappearing around the corner to the common area.
"That went well," Minho muttered. "Guess the gathering is over."
He got up and followed his friend. Brenda frowned, then focused on Thomas.
We're doing the right thing."
"I don't think there is a right or wrong anymore," Thomas said, hearing the numbness in his own voice.
He desperately wanted sleep.
"Only horrible, and not quite so horrible."
He got up to join the other two gladers, fingering the note in his pocket. What could it possibly say? He wondered as he walked out. And how would he ever know when the right time to open it had come.